Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hey, Susie, tell me something good.
Well, Barbara, it's episode 224 of the Groom Pod. That's good. We get to spend some time together here on September 22nd, 2019 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. And this podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Stazco, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and Barkley HQ. Barbara, are you a good schnauzer groomer?
Yeah, I think I'm an excellent schnauzer groomer.
How about if we talk about schnauzer grooming and schnauzers today and learn a little bit about fragrances? And I'm going to explain the hammock video and Buddy and his poor little experience in life and why I choose to use the hammock on him, even though it was not the smoothest transition. He did get in there, and he loves his little bag. Anyway, enough of that. Hey, I want to tell you, though, really quickly about Barkley HQ. Barkley HQ is one of our sponsors, and they have a cloud-based software system for your salon. It has everything you would need to run and manage your grooming business all in one spot on the cloud. It offers online booking and scheduling, client management, including fully customizable records that will do your client communications for you, like reminders. Also, you can do point of sale and inventory, staffing and accounting, and it even integrates with lots of popular accounting software. So you get detailed reports that you can track everything you need to make your business profitable. And they have super great customer service. If you'd like a 14-day free trial, you can check it out by going to the website, barkleyhq.com, or you can email info@barkleyhq.com. Or if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, call 416-678-8171. Speaking of doing it the old-fashioned way, Barbara, your shopping cart is puked out on you. And so if you want to place an order with Barbara, what we want you to do is give her a text message or an instant message and let her know, and she will call you back, or you can call her and you guys can do it that way. We don't know what's going on with the damn shopping cart, do we?
No, it's a puzzlement. And, I just don't have the wherewithal to deal with a highly technical manner. It's all paid up. I don't know what the heck is going on. It's stressful, and I don't have the tolerance to sit on hold forever and ever and then deal with technical issues. It's kind of beyond me. Maybe after I see the doctor next week, I'm going to go for some antidepressant thing again. And the truth is, I've just been down in the mucky muck, and I just can't deal with that kind of stuff when I'm in a weakened state. You know what I'm saying?
Not to mention, I'm not so sure that customer service with GoDaddy has ever been one of their strong suits, because I tried to use them in the beginning, and they're just kind of crappy that way.
They're just a little bit too something. Well, hey, so I would appreciate that. And shall we give them the number to text?
Go for it.
So, I'm not even sure whether my 800 number is still working, so I'm going to give you my actual personal cell phone number. It is 520-971-0401. Now you have it. Use it discreetly.
Yes, please. Well, you
and
know what?
Definitely, if you want to buy a book or a bathing beauty or, you know, any number of things that are in my shopping cart, give me a call and I'll hook you up.
Excellent. You know what happened here in the Northwest? It's been like flipping a switch. Winter is here.
Oh, well, hey, you didn't even notice the view out my window. I've moved into fall. We've gone from the lavender fields into the change of color. I thought that middle of September was good enough to do that.
So it's lovely.
Here we are in the imaginary. We never get change of colors in Tucson, Arizona. We get green and then it's all brown dead. So this is really nice. So yeah, hallelujah. You know, we did not have a 100-degree day this week.
Well, with our weather change comes the fleas. The fleas have hatched out. I'm seeing fleas crazy.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad I don't have to deal with fleas. They're just freaky, huh?
I saw two in a row that were groomed on the same day. Like I had one with fleas and then the next client with fleas, and I panicked because I thought, did I give these dogs fleas somehow? So I looked back and one of them was a monthly dog and the other one was an 8-week dog. So they weren't on the same cycle when the fleas have showed up. Phew, big scare there. But yeah, lots of Capstar going out and lots of picking and killing of the fleas because they're just disgusting. Ugh. So I hate that. Flea season. Blech. And I'm not even sure what to recommend.
Where do you get your Capstar?
I get it from my vet.
From your vet friend?
Yeah.
Got the connection. Yeah. So he gives you a discount?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. We should put out the word on the Facebook group to share your sources where you get your Capstar and the prices. Do a little shopping for our listeners, right? We're going to do that. We'll put it on there later today.
Even though they're not favored nations anymore, you can also get it on Amazon at a fairly decent price. Not quite as good as I get from the vet, but pretty.
Yeah, but let's do a price kind of an informal. We're not going to structure it or anything, but an informal survey amongst our listeners of, I don't see fleas, but I like to keep a box of Capstar in my bottom drawer because that is absolutely the best way to be sure that you rid a dog.
What is with these doodle people that one is not enough? They're supposed to call and ask me if they want a second doodle before they go out purchasing puppies. But I show up at one of my doodle houses. There's another doodle at the house. And now
a
I
puppy.
Don't know what to do. Yes, it's adorable. But what do I do, Barbara? I don't want
you
to
groom
it.
You groom it.
God, they take me so long to dry. I always forget. Now winter is here.
Wow, man. Are you using the Show Season Speed Dry?
I am using a silicone spray, but not that particular one.
Why don't you try it?
All right. I'll have to get a hold of some.
Yeah, you can get a hold of some from your buddy
Michael at Cascade Grooming Supply.
Michael at Cascade Grooming Supply will be able to hook you up. And I don't do enough speed dry appropriate dogs to make a good assessment because mostly I'm doing small curly coated dogs or terriers, you know, and it doesn't show up as making a difference. Plus, I have a heck of a time making Yvonne, my assistant is very good and she will come around, but she has to come around to a new product kind of on her own discovery channel. You know, she, it can't come from the top down by meandering around. And then she's all proud that she's found out that bright shampoo works really good. Yeah. It's funny. You know?
Yeah. Interesting.
Working with another person is so interesting, isn't it?
I bet. I'm so glad that I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah. I'd be really up the creek without a paddle.
Yes.
if I tried to work alone again. I started to schedule Charlie, the out of control bearded collie that we do together separately on a day off because he's so wild and woolly and matted. He's full coated. And after I scheduled him, she told me she wouldn't be available that day. And I thought that I would maybe groom him myself. And I sat on that for about 24 hours before I realized it was like the stupidest idea ever. There's just like no way. If this is a dog that takes two of us 4 hours, I'm going to sit there and do it by myself in my crippled state. I can't even stand for longer than 5 minutes.
What are you smoking?
So, yeah.
Hey, did you get the Hydra samples?
Yes, I got the Hydra samples, and I'm started to, you know, I did a general quickie overall assessment of the line of Hydra shampoos because they do have the ingredients on their website as well as on the bottles.
Yeah.
So a month or so ago, I did a quickie assessment of their basic. They're interesting because they have a basic shampoo base that they use on all of their shampoos, and then they have added extras to make it for special whitener or whatever.
Purposes, you know?
So
yeah.
I've already... And I'm working on it some more, so maybe when you get back from Orlando, we can cover the Hydra shampoos or Hydra products on
yes.
the Groom Pod. I'm yeah. nearly ready.
Yeah, and I'm working them through my dogs and testing them out, having a good time with that. So one last thing that I want to mention, that is we reached our goal with Patreon to get to our Facebook Live thing. Yay!
Oh, so yay! Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, so check yay! This out. How's this for a list of new Patreon subscribers? We've got Holly Ellett, Lynn Wright, Jennifer Foster, Angela Jones, Courtney Gattano, Jennifer Wolf, and Ashley Stribling all signed up this week for Patreon, and it pushed us over the top. And so we will be doing a Facebook Live good. Maybe next weekend when I'm in Orlando. You guys will watch the Groom Pod Facebook
maybe.
Discussion.
That's a
group.
Maybe. Yeah. Technical issues allowing, okay?
Yeah, definitely. And
technically.
That... Yeah, that might just be a straight up Facebook Live and not trying the new system out. But the next live show that we do, not the one that's coming up, but the next live show we do, we're going to have it displayed both on YouTube and on Facebook Live. So thank you guys very much. Barbara, is there anything you wanted to tell us about this week now that I've hogged up all the time?
Yeah, I did. I've got a couple of things to tell you about this week. One thing is that, you know, I am such a diva stylist that I do very few shave-down type groomings, very few. Count them on one hand. Well, this week I had three dogs that needed smoothies. So smoothie being that it's so short that it's not even fuzzy, right?
Right.
The first was a alleged terrier mix that came word of mouth from another client. And this dog was... And an adopted dog, and she had never taken it to the groomers because she heard bad things. But my other customer assured her of how nice we are and how good we are with the pets, which is the truth. So patient. Anyway, the dog turned out to be more like a large Yorkie mix, 15-pound Yorkie mix, tall. There was something else in there, but the undercoat was very much like Yorkie, and it was one of these things where it was like light on the outside of the coat, but when you shaved it down, it was like dark brown velvet.
Yeah.
So I knew she wasn't, this wasn't going to be like an every month groom or anything like that. And what she wanted was just like quite short all over. So I went for the 7-blade, and I really gained a deeper appreciation of groomers who do really good smoothies.
Yes.
Because this coat showed every mark, every movement of the clipper. I had to like exert all of my clipper expertise in shaving this dog down with a 7-blade without showing marks or it being ugly. And I will say I was able to do a beautiful job. The one thing that sort of displeased me is that, you know how on the front legs, on the side to the back, there's kind of a growth change where it's kind of a colic all the way down the dog's leg. Yeah, I wish I had recognized that and gone from front to back instead of back to front. Because to clip front to back, you're going to not emphasize that whole area all up the side of the leg as much, you know. So anyway, but I was happy. And then yesterday I had two new schnauzers. We just moved. I got the text, right? We just moved to Tucson and we have two 12-year-old schnauzers and we'd like to have them groomed. And so I set them up for yesterday, and fortunately, they sent me pictures of the dogs, and I saw that the dogs were just like freaking bald with schnauzer heads, or at least one had eyebrows and the other had some sort of a schnauzer type head. And I thought, oh, well, but we'd be kind of not in a position to be too picky these days. We, in other words, we need the money bad. So I said, oh, it looks like they get super short with cute terrier faces. And yes, we can do that. And these people were greatly relieved to be scheduled. They had read good reviews of my business and they had heard that we were very kind. And they were highly anxious about seeking out a new groomer for their two schnauzers. So it was a whole win-win thing. And I just never said a diva word about the length and just went for it. Again, I used an 8.5 blade on those two, and they came out nice. But, you know, I spent just as much time getting the perfect smoothie on these three dogs this week as I would have if they were full scissored trims. I just want to pass the acknowledgement around that I get it. It's a skill. It's an important skill. And if you've got good clipper skills and you can do a beautiful smoothie, amen to you. You're a groomer. It's not all about doing scissored fancy trims.
Not always.
So there.
Yeah. Did you reverse to clean it up? Did you do some reversing?
I didn't really need to. Yeah, I could have done reverse the whole way, but these being their first appointments with me, all of these dogs, I elected to go with the grain carefully.
Makes sense. Did you use the clipper vet?
I didn't use the clipper vet.
Okay. It takes a special cut. Yeah. It takes a little practice to get a good clean cut. Smoothie.
You know, what I noticed about my clippering skills is that I have a very light touch. And I think that that's a good thing because I actually was able to do some, I did some very light skimming in reverse here and there, but really lightly and more on to like inside of the legs to get, you know, to get that softer stuff inside of the legs and that kind of stuff I did in reverse. But I just noticed that one of the reasons I think that I was able to not make marks is that I have a light and smooth clippering technique. I didn't dig into the coat that tends to leave dig-in marks. And I would never have been able to do these three smoothies as good today, you know, when I first started grooming. It's really an accumulated skill.
I agree. And I got to say, don't schnauzers feel nice when all their hair is cut off?
You know, a lot of dogs feel nice when they have a smoothie. I appreciated that when I did Marco in the kind of Asian style with the smooth, tight, seven-blade body and the flared legs. And I just kept patting him, petting him, and petting him on his little smooth, velvety body. So now I understand why people like that. They like the feel of it for themselves, that it feels good to pet the soft, silky fur.
I agree. I like it.
Let me tell you something else that happened this week, because it was a really good example. I had a new hand strip border terrier that came in on Friday, and she was a really cute little dog, but extremely wiggly. And it was a difficult strip because she had gone someplace before that said they hand stripped and then maybe didn't really hand strip, not wanting to throw arrows, but that's what seemed to have happened. That's what the owner thought had happened. And when that happens, sometimes it's harder to strip them afterwards.
I can imagine.
It was kind of a start the coat over again type strip. It went well, but by the time I got to detailing the head, she was wiggling, and it, you know, it's very hard to control that head stuff when you have to work on the head. It's hard to like tie the head up to the groomer's helper and then work on the head. You can't. I need to have the head right at my face, and then I work on it. Well, I didn't, apparently, I didn't do a really good job. So Saturday morning, I answered the phone, and it was the customer of the new terrier, and he said, I really liked what you did with Gracie, and I think you did a great job, but there's one thing. And I said, well, thanks for calling and letting me know what's going on. And he said, the face is uneven. Her face is uneven. It seems to be noticeably longer on one side than the other. And I kind of laughed to myself because I could believe it happened, you know?
Yep.
I could believe it happened. And the truth is, I was so fatigued by the time I finished finished with her face that I didn't look at her face again. You know, I just like gave her to Yvonne. Okay, take her away. She's done, right? And so, you know, like, so Yvonne just tucked her under her arm, put her in the crate. And then when the dog's owner came, I was gone home already. And Yvonne just let her out, you know, and she went home. So I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Would you let me fix it? And he said, yeah, he said, I think I could probably fix it, but maybe I couldn't. He said, but I might make it worse. And I said, look, come on, bring her by today, anytime after one, between one and two, and I'll just fix it for you. And he said, okay, I'll be there. And he came and he watched while Yvonne and I wrestled with the little dog. And it was about a half an inch longer on the second side, my bad side, which is her side that she really doesn't want to have groomed. And I, you know, and it took Yvonne holding her head and me holding her head and scissoring with the blenders. And I got it all okay. Then I said, okay, take her over there. He approved, and he said, thank you so much. I can see how that happened. So not only did I satisfy him, not only did I take care of a complaint in a way that he was thoroughly satisfied, but he had a deeper appreciation for how an imbalanced face like that could happen on his little dog, and what, you know, what a job she is, and how patiently we worked with her. And so it was kind of a win-win-win. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I share this just to let you know that the best thing to do when people call with a complaint about the grooming is to right away thank them for getting in touch with you. Thank you for letting me know, you know, and then you try to assess if it's something that you can fix. In the case of ears two different lengths or face two different lengths or sticky outies on the butt or something like that, you can fix that. Just offer to fix it right then, soon, right away. Don't make an appointment for 2 weeks to fix it. Fix it right away and apologize for their inconvenience. Thank them for the opportunity to make it right and send them on their merry way, you know. And he was totally okay. If anything, it made for a deeper and better relationship with this new customer.
I like when things happen like that and you get the opportunity to go the extra mile and to fix the issue and to maybe bond with the client a little bit better. I think it's good.
It just takes a little bit of adultness at the moment of impact. Okay, you know what I'm saying? The moment of impact being when you hear the news that the customer is unhappy. There you have a choice. Am I going to be the little me, the little bitchy me who says, well, it couldn't possibly happen, or am I going to be the bigger me, the higher me? I choose to be the higher me most of the time. Nobody's perfect.
Yes.
I've gone south. Yeah, you know, but if you just like curb your instinct to be defensive and just open up to the possibility that you could fix this and open up to that it's a good thing to know that something dissatisfactory occurred.
And you'll probably end up with a client for life because you fixed the thing.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Quick break, and then we'll be back to talk schnauzers. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Barbara, I'm going to give you some schnauzer trivia. How's that?
I'm ready.
So the schnauzer... and I'm going to talk miniature schnauzer. Miniature schnauzer, not giant schnauzer. Yeah. So the mini is...
Standard schnauzers. We hardly ever see standard schnauzers.
It's true. So they're number 19 in popularity on the AKC, and I believe that. I do a bunch of them. They are 12 to 14 inches and 11 to 20 pounds, although I've seen some rather substantially large schnauzers. You know, they're not really true standards, but yet they're a little bit big for the minis.
They would stand out in the show ring.
They would, yes. So they are bred down from the standards. And one of the big differences between them and other terriers is that there's no British influence in the Schnauzer, which I thought was interesting. There is French influence because they came from poodles, Schnauzers, and Affenpinschers all mixed together.
It's interesting.
They were actually shown up in pictures in the 15th century as a variation of the bigger standard Schnauzers, but they were acknowledged as a breed in 1899 by the Kennel Club. They were farm dogs, they were ratters and vermin eaters, but the bigger difference was they were also household dogs. So they were very personable. They loved people. They were not always aggressive. Their prey drive wasn't insane. They're also different in that way. Let's take a walk down memory lane, Barbara. I'm trying to think of the style that the Schnauzers were cut in when I first started, and I seem to think that there was a hula skirt present on a lot of those dogs by accident or on purpose, I'm not sure. And the line has moved down over the years. What do you remember? Because you actually were back there. I started kind of later than you did.
I don't think the line has moved down. I think that there has been more of a trend towards correcting the line. That hula skirt thing happened. People do puppies like that. Breeders, sometimes puppies first clip. It is a little bit hula skirty. And somehow, that skirted look and full puffy chest even, that grabbed hold and trended in the pet grooming arena, never showed up in the show ring, but it trended in pet grooming and got passed on and defended and liked. I've had a couple of dogs that came in with skirts and I took them off and I never saw them again. like, are you attached to this? And it's important not to use the term, this is not correct. You know, like, it's bad customer relations to imply that how the dog has been being groomed is improper or incorrect, even though that's what's in your mind. I learned that the hard way, that it offends people because people identify with their pets. It's hard to avoid using terms like, could I move this more towards the proper groom or something like that? Better to do it with pictures and maybe find some pictures of well-groomed schnauzers and either have them on your walls or have them in a book that you can refer to.
I say I generally do the line a little bit lower and a little more angular here on the back so that the muscles show on the leg, and then I show a picture. And they usually will accept that, but sometimes the change is too drastic for people. So you got to split it up between a few appointments as you kind of correct the look.
Jay Scruggs recommends that approach.
The transitional approach?
Yeah, that transitioning. Whenever you're making kind of a radical change in a dog of the pattern, and the people may not quite get it, or maybe you just start doing it yourself, just ease it down a little bit, appointment by appointment. Yeah. I know, I tend to want to do the big makeover. So, but it just depends on who you're working with, you know?
Sure. Did you used to see a lot more cropped ears?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad kind of that.
Yeah, we used to see always cropped ears in the beginning.
Now I hardly ever see cropped ears.
And actually, I think that's a breed where the uncropped ears are attractive.
Me too.
Like I've got this thing. I don't like Dobermans with floppy ears. You know, I had a Doberman and I got her ears done because I wanted the full value of my Doberman, you know, and I got a beautiful French cut, which has a little bit of kind of an inward curl on the tip. I had a really good vet was available who was a Doberman breeder that did a beautiful ear trim. Not all vets know how to do a good ear cut, but you're right. With the Schnauzers, it's fallen out of popularity, and I think they're just as cute and still very terrierish with dropped ears.
Anything changed in their face, or is it pretty much stayed the same?
No, but I want to talk about that face.
Okay, let's.
Because I was kind of amazed the other day. I tuned into one of the large Facebook grooming pages. I don't remember which one it was because I just kind of got there inadvertently. And they were talking about, do you shave down the face of the, down the nose, the bridge of the nose of the Schnauzers or of your dogs? And I was amazed to see how many people did that and defended that. For me, it's a complete deal breaker, huge, huge no-no.
I don't do it ever, really ever.
But a lot of groomers are still doing that. I mean, I would have got my hand slapped where I learned to groom if I ever did that. The only time that we ever shaved down the nose of a dog was like really smushed in Shih Tzu faces that were not staying clean. You know, that was acceptable. But the Schnauzers, it just makes the face look like a freaking ski slope, and it grows back in horrible, and groomers are defending it. It's clean and it's tidy, and then you hear, well, that's what my customers want.
Groomers, how would they
defend
know
doing that? How would they know? How would they know unless they had lived with it being done less drastically with thinning scissors? It just ruins the look of the Schnauzer as far as I'm concerned. I'm sorry. Aren't I? I'm just such a freaking diva.
Traditionalist.
I am a traditionalist in that way, although I will go all the way into a completely non-Schnauzer look if you want.
So you know, what would I you do one for that non-Schnauzer? Because I do a couple too. I'm curious.
Otto, he has a curly crown. The crown is curly. The eyebrows are very short and almost bangs. And the side of his face is just scissored and left. And the beard is very short. It's almost a teddy bear face. And it's just what that particular man wanted when Otto was a puppy. He didn't want to let go of that puppy look. You know, sometimes a terrier first grooming is traumatic to the owners because they go from being this kind of informal, fluffy, unruly kind of a thing to suddenly being all pointy and serious and proper, you know, and stern looking. And, you know, we like that in terriers, but the owner isn't always ready to lose the puppy look. So he wasn't ready to lose the puppy look, but it just stayed. It just stayed. And so, you know, I just scissor his, every now and then I go over the top with a snap-on comb, like a peach comb.
I do the yellow comb.
If it gets too poodly, I don't want like that either. And I do the ears, but I don't shave the outer ear. I just do a short snap-on comb, and then I trim the edge of the leather good.
Sometimes like I do a little lamb ear where I've shaved the ear. Like yeah. I've got three schnauzers that get non-traditional cuts. I do a yellow on their bodies so that they don't have a jacket look. They just like them fluffy. And then I kind of do a lavender comb on the head all over and make a nice looking, cute, happy, friendly, soft face. And they seem to love it. But one of them constantly gets mats at the end of his ears. And so for that dog, I give him a lamb ear. So I just shave the whole thing with a 10 blade. And it gives a cute kind of wheatish look to the dog's head. And they like it.
You know, you can also use a 10 blade on the lower third of the ear and do kind of a Newfoundland look. That ear works sometimes if you want to leave a fuller, you know, you have to go with what the dog's got. Some dogs have way too much ear leather and other dogs have too little.
Good point.
And some of them have, sometimes you find the donkey ears. What do
yes.
you do when you have donkey, you know, they're standing up on their own.
I've got one of those just, too.
And they're just huge. You know, I had one of those. And what I used to do for that dog is I did Scotty type ears.
Oh,
so I
cute.
Left hair in front of the base of the ear there. And that minimize these huge donkey ears coming out. It just took a little bit of the focus off of that, because when they have ears like that, that's the first thing you notice. Like, man, that dog's got some ears.
Part two of our schnauzer discussion will be presented on episode 225.
Now let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about fragrances and allergies. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877 877- 560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris, because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order, or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website, and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Let's talk fragrance.
Well, I want to talk about dog fragrance because when I started grooming, that would be in the early 70s, there wasn't much. Grooming products didn't smell bad unless they were medicated, but they didn't smell especially good. And the fragrance wasn't a particular concern. And then what happened, somewhere in the late 80s, there started being more fragrances, and colognes for dogs came out, and groomers went crazy with this stuff. The more fragrance, the better a product sold. And then we started going for long-lasting fragrances, and the longer it lasted, the better it sold. So fragrance became a really important marketing point. And now we're realizing that some of these fragrances are causing allergic reactions. And we have people asking for no fragrance, either because they're allergic to fragrance or they think their dog is allergic to fragrance. So let's talk a little bit about fragrance allergy, because it's a thing. It's a thing that's been studied widely in humans. It's gotten lots and lots of clinical attention because it's highly recognized as an existing problem. And in around 2009, the European Union came out with a list of 26 known allergens in fragrance. Now, these are not whole fragrances because we recognize that a given fragrance oil can have 3 to 30 components, fragrance components.
Okay.
An exotic human perfume can have dozens of components. Perfumery is an art. It is an existing, an ancient art, and it exists today. And dermatologists in Europe started doing clinical studies of fragrance components that were attributed to allergic responses, and they identified 26 components that were likely to cause an allergic response. They were just called 26 allergens. Now, an allergen may or may not cause a response. Not all individuals are reactive. Not all individuals are allergic, but it has done so in enough cases that it can be relied upon to do it some more.
Yeah, I get it.
And some of these fragrance components were synthetic and some were natural. There's always been a mix of synthetic components and natural components, the natural components being the real inspiration. Nature is the real inspiration for the entire fragrance industry. The fragrance industry takes great pride in maintaining that they are enhancing our lives with fragrances, that fragrances make us happy. They make us like products better.
And they're very connected to emotions.
They're very connected to emotions. The fragrance industry is like very identified that they're serving a purpose in our lives, that fragrances enhance lives. Whether it's if you wake up to a shining citrusy fragrance or you go to bed to a lavender flowers or whatever, your sheets should smell good. You know, like we've taken it way over the top. And now what we're finding out is that there's an increasing number of allergies happening related to fragrances. And since 2009, the EU made a directive where if you used up to, wait a minute, I got to look at my notes.
Note search.
They made a rule. You would need to declare on your label if you had any of the 26 fragrance allergens in your product. So you can see this affecting the pet industry. They can really see it in people shampoos, because at the bottom of the list, at the end of the list, you have these strange kind of chemical sounding names like geraniol, linalool, eugenol, etc. Then those are fragrance components that have been on the list,
okay,
the 26 list. And that, even though it's kind of self, the fragrance industry is pretty much self-regulating, but it's become the norm. And we see some of these fragrance components on pet shampoos, especially if they come from other countries that are using. See, the United States didn't adopt this declaration idea. We're not required in the United States, but you'll see it on things from overseas, and you'll see it from Yves Saint Bernard that comes from Italy, and some of the, so we get shampoos from China, from other places, they will list those things. Now, guess what? Since they made that declaration of 26 fragrance allergens, the list has now grown to 90.
Oh, wow.
Yes, there's a current regulatory proposal which hasn't been finalized or adopted that has put forth a need that all cosmetics will need to declare any of 90 fragrance allergens contained within the product if they occur at 0.01% in a rinse-off product and 0.001% in a leave-on product. And they have 11 substances, including limonene. Limonene is something you got to know about with dogs, because dogs are sometimes allergic to limonene. 11 substances will have their final threshold managed through a dermal sensitization quantitative risk assessment, a QRA. So they're getting more and more serious. They're finding more and more allergic responses happening to fragrances, especially as more fragrances get used in personal products and cleaning products and all the products that we use besides actual perfume. So it's continuing. Now, what's acknowledged is that dogs have fragrance allergies. And there's never been any studies that have identified components to which dogs in particular are allergic. So we can only go by what's been identified for human use, right? And when they make a so-called hyperallergenic fragrance for pet products, it would be most likely a fragrance that was made without any of the 26 identified allergens in it, right? That would make it hypoallergenic. And remember that hypoallergenic just means less likely to cause an allergic reaction. You can never say that something will never cause an allergic reaction, because there's always some being out there that's going to be allergic to some thing. And there are dogs that are just like hypersensitive to everything.
Well, as you were telling me, I was doing that math and I was like, oh, now I get how there can be one that's declared to be hypoallergenic, a scent that's hypoallergenic.
Yeah. Also, I haven't been able to track this. There was a doctor many years ago made a list of fragrance ingredients that probably would not. So that you have a positive list that you can work from, and you have a negative list that you want to work away from. Or if you use it, you want to use something under this threshold, right? Right. So the threshold is an interesting, allergic threshold is an interesting concept, which I hadn't entertained before, because I always assumed that fragrance allergies were kind of like peanut allergies. And if you had the teeniest little trace of something that once was in your product, boom, you'd have an allergic reaction. But it isn't that. Generally speaking, fragrance allergies require a certain threshold to trigger an allergic reaction. So a little bit might, I mean, and we're looking at 0.001%. So a drop or two of that, whatever, might be okay, and could still be considered hypoallergenic, right?
Cool. Thank you for explaining that to me. That makes a lot of sense.
So there's some stuff. So I just want to say, just to summarize, there is such a thing as a hypoallergenic fragrance. It's a fragrance that's been created to avoid allergic response to humans and probably pets.
I'm glad to know. Not appealing.
Fragrance kind of masks the unattractive and then not appealing, and then boosts the appealing. And then that's what happens with groomers. Fragrance has become a marketing point to assuage groomers to use the product. So they open the bottle of shampoo and you sniff the fragrance and then you say, oh, I want to use that. That's what you do.
Yes,
you sniff right out of the bottle and decide whether you like the fragrance or not. When the truth of it is, how do perfumers test fragrance? Not by sniffing out of the bottle. They put it on a piece of paper and wave that in front of their nose so they get the whiff, not the full ugh.
Well, to my credit, I did stick my nose into the shampoo, so there was that. I got it all over.
See, that's what I'm telling you not to do.
Okay. Let's take another break here from our last sponsor, and then we will be back so that I can tell you about Buddy. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Buddy is a very special little Bichon. And let me tell you about this family. They are large people in their presence and in their size both. And they are the kind of people who had two Bichons that had a litter and they kept all the dogs.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there were 5 Bichons at their house. 5. It was horrible for me. Much easier when I was at the vet hospital than when I went mobile, because thank goodness the dogs started to die off. That was a lot of dogs to do mobile for me to have to scissor the Bichon heads into and all that. But they've been clients for a very long time. And we've gone through many, many fluffy white dogs at this point. And Mr. Ross and Buddy shared a very special bond from the moment he came home at 16 weeks old. He was obviously a very nervous dog, really pretty looking dog, but very nervous and very anxious and always hyper aware of his environment and always looking for Mr. Ross. Where's Mr. Ross? Where's Paul? Where's Paul? And there was at that point a beagle, a full-size beagle in the house, and another Bichon that was very old. So they brought Buddy into the household, and he was never really a comfortable dog in this household or in life. He's just not comfortable. He's just very anxious. His tongue, he has a Gene Simmons tongue. It hangs way down, and it's constantly out, and he's always panting. It doesn't matter if he's relaxed or not. He's just always nervous, panting. So he is easily overstimulated. And even though I've done him once a month since he came home at 16 weeks, he has never fully accepted being out of sight of the family. He's that kind of an anxious, needy little guy. So one day, at about a year, maybe a year and a quarter old, Mr. Ross gets sick and the ambulance comes in and takes him away. But he never got over it, that his pal, okay, just a sec, but he never got over the loss of his human. Then to compound things, a week later, his mom collapsed, and she had a back problem, and the ambulance came in and took her away, and it was horrible. Now, Mrs. Ross came back, but Mr. Ross never did. They found lung cancer. And he never got out of the hospital. Sorry, guys. It's a hard story to tell. As a result, Buddy is severely traumatized. He has PTSD. It's obvious. And he doesn't do well out of sight of them. But he's been with me since the beginning. We do fine. But he doesn't like the door to be covered. He likes to see the door. And though he does okay with restraint, he's constantly panting for the whole groom. So it's a constant move. His body's always moving.
It makes it so hard to groom the rib cage when they pant.
Yes, and I can't get a good head because I can't dry his head because that blocks his view of the door. He won't tolerate a happy hoodie. So he's very special. But we get along just fine. A few years ago, he's about 5 now. A few years ago, we figured out that he liked to be carried around in a bag. So I put up a picture of Buddy in the bag. Buddy hates to have his feet done. He has long nails with long quicks, and no matter what I've done, I've never been able to take him down. So I keep him on the table because of his anxiety and constant turning towards the door with my groomer's helper and my lip system. But when it comes to getting a decent-looking scissored leg on him or doing his nails, I have just found the hammock, because it's like the bag, to be very reassuring for him. Buddy does much better hanging from the lips in the hammock. But getting him into the hammock is a challenge because he always knocks it off the table with his foot. He doesn't really mean to, but he's trying to turn so that he can see the door, so he flings it on the ground. Anyway, I put the video up of Buddy and of me putting Buddy into the hammock because I knew it. He's a difficult dog to get in the hammock. Maybe later on in the week I'll put a different dog up there. But I find the hammock is really helpful for him because he feels swaddled and I have free access to his feet without him pulling and weaving and bobbing. He's never bit. It's not like that. It's just that he's so busy and so nervous and constantly moving and lifting his feet, and he doesn't like to be restrained. So that's why I put Buddy in the hammock, and that's the dog I shared on the Facebook discussion group. That's the video I put up. So there you go. That's the story of Buddy. Sorry I cried. I didn't mean to.
I know, we feel for our dogs, you know? If we weren't empathetic, we wouldn't be good groomers. You know, and your ability to feel Buddy's pain is beautiful. Susie, making me cry.
We gotta knock that off.
Makes me cry.
Well,
because you're so good. You're so good. I love you.
Thank you. I had to find the right way for him. And that is what I do the best, is I can find the right way for any particular dog to feel comfortable with grooming. He loves me. When I get in the house, of course, he's very nervous when I show up and he pants and he tries to hop up onto Mom. Poor Mom came home with a walker. I mean, talk about a really tragic week in the life of this family. I mean, two times the aid car comes in, takes his people away. I mean, really. And then to not be a confident dog, like it didn't affect the other two dogs, but boy, did it affect Buddy. I mean, he's just a sensitive little soul. So anyway, there you go. That's Buddy. That's the video. And that's the show. Let's get the heck out of
gotta
here, Barbara.
Wrap it up, Liz. Get out of here.
God, yes. Now I got to go take a shower because I got salty tears all over. Gee whiz. Of course, that's what you guys like about us, is we're real people and we have real grooming stories. And it's not just about education, but it's about being a groomer as a lifestyle. And it's a great lifestyle. I'm very happy to have it. And Barbara, I love you very much. And all of you guys, thanks for being there. And I didn't want to be a sore spot about not winning the award. I was more making fun when I said, gosh, I'm glad I didn't buy a ticket to Hershey. Mostly.
No, we still want to win.
Yeah, we
damn
it. Win. I know it. Okay. Well, you guys, thanks for being here. Happy grooming, everybody. We'll see you
next
week.
Year.
Yeah, there's always next year, Barbara.
All right. Take care of each other. See you on Facebook.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.